Hi, my name's Steve, and for the past 19 years, I've been part of one of the best communities on the planet, the military community. I served 4 years as a soldier when my wife Heather and I joined the Army to pay off some student loans. When I got out, I became a full-time military spouse. I transformed into Mr. Army Wife. Through all of the moves, deployments, and different opportunities and struggles I've experienced, the one thing I'll never forget are the other military spouses I've had the pleasure of meeting. They're amazing, and I want you to meet them too. On this season one finale, I'll introduce you to Liz, Bonnie, and Carolyn, three military spouses I get to call my friends. It's the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast, and it all starts right now. Hey everybody, it is Mr. Army Wife. My name's Steve, and this is episode 24 of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast, and it's the season finale. Season one is over almost, but I have a great episode today. It's a very special episode, and I've got to tell you why. So for the last 23 episodes, I've had three different guests, and none of them have known each other. They have all met for the first time on the podcast. Today, everybody knows each other. Matter of fact, we all live within a mile of each other, and those three actually live pretty close to each other, like next door to one another. I'm going to introduce them in the order in which I met them. It was all last year. First up, her name is Liz. I met her when we had coffee together last year for the first time. And Liz, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a mother of three, and I have two sons that are in the Army. One's a captain and one's going to be in the Army this summer. And I have a daughter who's graduated from college and she works in DC. I was an Army brat and been married since just out of college. And so my whole life I've been associated with the military. Anyway, happy to be here.
Oh, next up is Bonnie. Bonnie and I met about the same time that Liz and I met. We're all part of the Spouses Club board together last year, and it was great meeting Bonnie as well. Bonnie, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
So I had the wonderful opportunity to find my junior high sweetheart after 25 years and get married to a soldier 5 years ago. So I'm a little bit newer to this. However, I am the mother of a 20-year-old, 17-year-old, two stepdaughters that are 13. Our house is the Estrogen Ocean. He does go to work to get away from it. I was a healthcare professional for over 20 years, ran long-term care facilities, assisted living, degrees in psych, which kind of helps in lots of different ways, but really, really loving this life of seeing the world, always getting an opportunity to make a difference, being welcomed almost wherever we go. It's an amazing life, a fascinating journey. I'm getting to do it with my soulmate and love talking about it. Love being asked to be on the show. Thank you so much.
Awesome, of course. And last but not least, she's my bourbon buddy. And we met last year in November at a spouse's coffee that was actually a dinner time thing. I have still not figured that out. Her name is Carolyn. Carolyn, thank you so much for being on the podcast. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Well, hello, Steve. Thank you for having me. So I'm in the middle between Liz and Bonnie. We've been married since 2004. So I've been doing this for 16 years or so. So I have a little perspective from having an adult life and a career prior to the Army. And then we married when he was a major. So I've had 16 years of being married to the Army. I have two daughters, young. We started late. They're 12 and almost 14, but still 13. Love it. Love what we've got going on here. Love our neighbors very much. And I'm excited to talk to you guys about the differences between us and the similarities.
Yep. That was one of the reasons why I chose you three to be on the same podcast, is because you have this unique perspective of having been in the military life for very differing time frames, which is something we see among all of military spouses. But you also have the unique perspective of all being married to general officers. That's right. We have three general officer spouses here, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today as well. Let's just have a great conversation. Liz, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. All right.
How has military life shaped your adult life? And I guess in your case, your child life as well. It's kind of shaped everything about your life, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's all I know. It definitely is all I know. And our family is multi-generational military. My great-great-grandfather on down. We definitely have made the military a career, passing it down from one generation to the next. And we had not intended to do that with our own kids. Surprised that our oldest joined the military. Our youngest always wanted to be in the Army. But it shaped me in so many ways. I think the biggest way it shaped me, I certainly have a very patriotic red, white, and blue heartbeat. And I love moving around. I get a little antsy after staying in the same place for too long. I love the kind of global perspective I've gotten from as a child living overseas and then as an adult, all the different places. So I think in every way it's molded me. And it's also made me very flexible. I think that I kind of go with the flow when things hit or change or we switch directions. So I'm pretty mellow in that respect. Just tell me where to go and I'll go.
Well, it's kind of like this COVID thing hasn't really affected us because that's what our life is like all the time.
Yeah.
You know, oh, by the way, you can't go next week to your vacation trip. Okay, well, that's kind of what we do. Yeah. We're really kind of used to that.
Right. And we don't see family for holidays. And so
right.
I think COVID has kind of been, we were well prepared for this.
Right. We were made for this. This is what we were made for. Like it or not.
Some of the differences you've noticed from being a kid, the perspective of being a military child versus being a military spouse?
So that is an interesting question. Certainly over those many decades in my earliest memories of being a military kid to now, it is much less formal. So what the way my mother entertained, the way my parents, their, you know, the kind of NCO team relationship that we have now was very different as when I was growing up in the military as a Army brat. So I think that there's a lot of things that have changed. Also kind of that mentality of that goes back generations of if the Army wanted you to have a wife, they would give you a wife. That has changed in the fact that the military has really embraced families differently than when I was a kid. And family support groups that started when Terry was a lieutenant is when the family support group started. Before that, there was nothing like it. There were coffees that kind of were social. Everything was social, but there wasn't this structure to take care of families. And so that is a major change. And then through all of our experiences, even Bonnie's, that has changed. Even in the last 5 years, they keep tweaking it and changing the name. And so it's an evolution that's happened. But I would say the biggest thing is it's much more relaxed. Everything that we do from socializing to relationships, and there's not that kind of there's no outside influences, I think, at this point, or very few, of who we can be friends with and how we entertain and what we can do. And so that's been a welcome change. And I think the teaming of our battle buddies mm-hmm. has been the most welcome change in my heart.
I agree.
I just want to echo a little bit what she said, because when we were going, in fact, when we got engaged, my mother-in-law, so Patrick is third generation military. So his father was also in the Army. That's how we got to know each other, actually. So anyway, she was going to give me all this guidance on what it would be like to be an officer's spouse. And I can't use any of it. And then I talked to her about what we're doing. She'll, you know, talk about, well, what are you doing? You know, and I'll tell her some of the stuff I've been doing. She's horrified. She's like, oh my goodness, how could they let you do that now? I can't tell you how many times I've heard, they let you do that now? So you're right. I didn't live through it, but I get to watch the reaction when I describe the differences between now and then.
Liz, what are some things that your mother did when you were a kid that you were like, I don't understand this at all? And now that you were like, oh, once you became a spouse, you were like, oh yeah, I understand.
That's a tough one. I'm thinking more of parenting. I definitely appreciate my mom more. I think the biggest thing I would think is my mom definitely supported my dad's career, and my mother is a teacher, and but she picked up and moved every time we did. And if she could get a job, she got a job. If she didn't, you know, but the focus was on my dad's career. And I think my mom, she definitely supported that by entertaining and doing the things that were expected of her at that time. And I will say that she ran into when my dad was kind of a senior, he was a lieutenant colonel at the time. She was told to quit a job by the brigade commander's spouse, told to quit teaching so that she could support my dad in his role as a battalion commander. And there was it was a big to do. And my dad supported her in not doing that. And my mom continued to teach. But so I think the fact that my mom kept her career, and I'm a teacher too, I was an English teacher, and I kept my career kind of peppered throughout Terry's career. Once the kids started going to school, and I kind of put it on the back burner, but I've always worked, I've always done something, but my career has taken a back seat. So I understand that from my mom's perspective.
Carolyn, how about you? Same question I asked at the beginning of this. How has military life shaped your adult life since getting married 16 years ago?
Well, I have to say, when Liz was talking about it's all she knows, I immediately said to myself, that is how I feel now, because the military lifestyle is so unique. It's so special. It's just like nothing else. Having had a career, and I know Bonnie will agree, because having had a career not in the military, you know, your coworkers aren't your family. And in the military, they are absolutely your family. And you may not even know who they are, but you know you can go to them and ask for anything and they'll help you. And that is, I used to describe it all the time when we were first married in the first 10 years or so about how unique it is. And you can't explain that. And I'm not sure if that answers your question or not, but it has just made me who I am. I wouldn't change a thing other than marrying earlier, maybe.
What did you do before?
I have a degree in nutrition and food science. So I worked in the hospital industry, but I never got my registered dietitian registration. So I worked in food service for the hospital, but I ran their computer program. So I did computer programming. I did all of the catering for the food services, because like the big wigs have to have food at their luncheons and stuff. And I ran all of the special events that went on in there. And I did all the computer programs that ran all the patient foods and the cafeteria foods. So I really didn't use my degree, but I worked there until Annabelle was born. And that's when I stopped working.
And that was just more of a decision because you had a child and you wanted to stay at home.
I did. And I lived about an hour away from my job. So there was just really no way to do it.
Yeah.
And one thing too, I used to joke about a lot when we first got married, because I married him. He was a senior lieutenant major, promoted quickly after that, and then took a battalion command. And so here I am, you know, brand new into this, and having come from not the corporate world, but knowing what a CEO and a COO and CFO are. And he kept trying to explain to me what an FRG was. And I'm like, so the CEO, the COO, and the CFO's spouses get together? I don't understand. I totally did not. I mean, it took me 10 years to understand what an FRG was and why we needed it. So that's where my corporate, my previous Army life kept hanging on to me. And I still sometimes scratch my head about it, but
we all have acronyms.
That's true. We do. That's true.
Bonnie, how about you? How has the last 5 years shaped your adult life?
So for me, it was almost like retiring from one life and starting a completely different life. I did not grow up military at all. I was one of the little country girls in the little country school that the Fort McClelland, you know, students came over to high school at, and elementary school, to be honest, because Patrick and I actually met, although we don't remember it, in first grade on the playground. So his dad was back and forth as an MP. Fort McClelland had the MP school for the Army. And so he was back and forth. And we were each other's sweethearts in eighth grade. We continued to write each other, even when his dad transferred to Panama. I lost track when he went to basic training, because he enlisted before he commissioned. And then we basically found each other again 25 years later with our lives, you know, most of our adult lives kind of complete with children and careers and what have you. So for me, getting married meant moving. I had not moved in 10 years at that point. Now, granted, some of the things that people talk about that are very novel for them to the military life were not novel to me. I left my family behind when I was 18 years old as far as distance. In fact, when we got married and moved to post, I actually lived closer to my family than I had lived since I was 18 years old. Another thing that was different, in my mid-20s, I moved 6 times in 4 years between 4 different states, both with children and without. So I had that moving experience.
Sorry, I was like the complete opposite of you, because I lived in the same town until after we were married. I still drove an hour to still where I worked in Nashville. And then we didn't leave that area until 2011. So I never left my hometown until we went to the War College in Rhode Island.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I'm like, I thought I was going to marry me an Army dude and I'm going to go see the world. And he moved me an hour up the road. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then we stayed there. And I was like, I never left until 2011.
Oh, that's awesome. So yeah, so some of those things that folks talk about that are hugely changing for them weren't quite the same for me. However, what did change massively for me was I was a single mom with two kids, had them since I was small, by myself, four states away from my home of origin, had created a family around the nursing home I worked in and all the people that were there, to the point that anyone with an Indian Creek Healthcare badge could show up at the school. And if they knew the password, they could get my kid, because that's a business that is open 24/7, 365. And as the administrator, you never know when you're going to have to be at work. You could be at work any of that time and be mandated by law to be there and go to jail if you're not. So it's one of those things where I was trying to do that job and be a single mom. And if it wasn't for the help of my coworkers, I would have been back home in Alabama probably. Roll Tide, by the way. There you go, Leo, I did it. So getting married to Patrick was amazing because he was still that same kid with the members only jacket playing saxophone. You know, in my mind, that's who he was. And it still makes my heart flutter. But I finally, for the first time since I was, you know, a teenager, got to stop working full time and had full health care that didn't cost $500 a month. And, you know, I can talk for 30 minutes, as you guys know, about the benefits that come with this lifestyle that people aren't aware of, the both the intangible and the tangible. I mean, the friendships and the camaraderie, absolutely. But the huge safety net that is protects us from some of the bottoms. I remember the first time I heard about someone getting fired. And I said, wait a minute, now that soldier got fired, but he walks out the door still drawing a paycheck and still having health insurance. I'm like, that's not how I get fired. And
nope.
I walk out, insurance stops and it's all over. So
yeah.
So it really was just completely different world, completely different for me, starting day one.
When you guys got married, what was the most surprising thing to you when you walked into this life? Because you had basically lived, like you said, you had lived a whole life and were basically retiring from that life. What was the most surprising thing to you?
Truly, the most surprising thing were the resources. Now, granted, I'll tell you, I was drinking from the fire hose. I didn't even know how to tell time. We got married and 2 weeks later.
I still have trouble with that.
I do too. I'm like counting. Plus two.
I have to add
two. Minus two, something.
Yeah, when somebody told me the minus thing, that I got
minus
better.
Two. Yeah, yeah, me too. That helps.
But I would sit here and count on my fingers to try to figure out when that was to be at something. So that was a tricky part. But just everything. I mean, I came from healthcare. There's a million acronyms. The difference was I was supposed to know all the acronyms already. Like I was supposed to already know it. I got laughed out of a spouses club because I did not know. And actually there was two spellings, so I didn't even know which was right. And I was describing this RSVP we had received for an event. And I said, well, the people from AAFES or AAFED, I don't know which it is, but they haven't responded yet. And literally got laughed out of the room. And it was brought up a month later at how funny it was that I didn't know what AFES was.
Well, I still have that. John had someone over for dinner and they were talking and I'm like, you guys are talking foreign language. Stop it. Yeah. I mean, it still goes on. I don't know what the heck they're talking about. So even if you've been doing it for 16, 17 years, you're still going to get like, I have no idea. Stop talking in acronyms.
And like the FRG, they keep changing it anyway. Bowling,
right.
It's all different. So,
right. It changes. I just say, I don't know what you're talking about and just own it and then go with it. Cause that's what I do. I'm like, I got no clue what you're talking about.
Yeah. As soon as we get comfortable with something, guaranteed it's going to change.
It's going to change.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Liz, what has been one of the biggest changes you've seen?
I think that the privatized housing jumps out at my head right now.
Oh God.
That's been
worst changes.
But I'll tell you, one of the biggest changes is the op tempo. God bless these young families right now that are dealing since 2001 with constant deployments in war. Terry and I met in 84, got married in 88, And his first, his first deployment was to Haiti in 94, but that's a long time. That was from the time we met. That was, you know, a long time, but he didn't start doing back-to-back deployments until 2003, 2004. And so, but we were solidly married by then. He was a senior lieutenant colonel the first time he went for a long deployment. And he's done about 7 since then. But I really feel for these young families that are dealing with this op tempo of long deployments and time apart. And it's not, as we all know, it's not just a year deployment or 9 months as they're doing now. It's NTC, JRTC, it's the, you know, it's the up leading to the deployment. So
that's what that's how I married John.
God bless you guys. That is not the
well, that's what I knew though. So that wasn't unusual, or I knew that getting into it because he was special operations. They were in and out every 90 days. It was a revolving door. So for our first, until we left Fort Campbell, that's what our life was. It was the revolving door of 30, 60, 90 days. No notice.
Right. I just feel like those young 20-year-olds getting married and, you know,
have no clue. Yeah.
Have no clue and come into this life and their spouse leaves.
And their spouse is gone. Yeah. I can't imagine.
Yeah. You see a lot of that sometimes. They're getting married because of the deployment. You know, the kids are getting married right before a spouse goes right out of basic or right out of AIT. And they're getting married, and then, you know, all of a sudden, 5 days after they go to the courthouse to get married, they're deploying and hit for 9 months or a year. And, you know, here we go. You're on the roller coaster ride.
Yeah. Hang on tight.
Bonnie, has your husband deployed at all since you guys have been married?
So he deployed while we were dating, like we were getting engaged. And he was one of the first people when there were no boots on the ground. He was in flip-flops over in Iraq when ISIS was a thing. So that was, 6-9 months of when we were dating. And then he came home and we got engaged. And then he went to Poland for 6 months, which is not combat deployed, but was still gone for 6 months before we came to Fort Knox. So when he was at Fort Riley. Yeah. So I've experienced it, but I will just tell you right now that the biggest difference between me and where I come in to this picture and my friends on this podcast is that I did not live through those constant deployments where you're having to help your neighbors who are grieving, where you're getting those phone calls. I have heard around, you know, little campfires and over a few drinks, some of the situations that my neighborhood has been through, let's say, you know, 7, 8, 10 years ago. I have nothing to compare to what these ladies have done with grace and with strength. I know I missed that piece.
But you would have done the same thing.
Yeah, it would have been, you would have just rolled right with it and been empowered.
And be thankful. Honest to God, be thankful
I am so thankful, Carolyn. I just couldn't imagine.
I have kind of a question for Liz and Bonnie, and then I'm going to kind of bring Carolyn into it. Liz, do you think you've missed out on anything having been a military child and a military spouse? Like, what would you have done had that not been a part of your life?
Good question. Well, actually, I have a unique Army brat life that I was the youngest in my family. And so I started first grade and went to school for about 3 years in a neighborhood and then moved away to Europe for 4 years, one other assignment, a fifth year. And then I stayed through high school and I went to college with the same kids. So I have a kind of a unique, my brother and sister were in multiple schools all there. But anyway, so I started basically first grade through college with a group of kids. So I can look at that life and say, I'm not sure I missed out on much because I got a little bit of the best of both worlds. I'm sure I did. I think that today with Facebook and the internet, people are more connected. But I think that my community, my friends that stayed through that whole time are probably closer. So maybe some longevity in my earlier friendships, but that my friendships as an Army spouse have far outweigh the friendships that I had in high school or elementary school. And so I don't think I missed out on anything. I think I gained. In fact, I used to say when Michelle Obama and Dr. Biden used to talk about military life and families and trying to get people to be interested and care about military families. I used to say, if they knew what we have, people would be jealous. And so
I agree.
I didn't miss out. I have not missed out on anything. I've gained everything.
Now, when you were a kid, though, did you want to be a military spouse? Did you want to marry an Army guy?
I certainly didn't go into, you know, dating only military guys. In fact, Terry's the only Army guy I dated, but we met in college, but I dated other people. No, I definitely did not have that in mind.
You weren't against it, but you weren't.
No, yeah, no, I wasn't against it. No.
Okay. All right. Now, Bonnie, I kind of want to turn that around on you. Okay. So do you think you missed out on, or what do you think you've missed out on having only been part of his life for 5 years? Or part of his married life for 5 years. Obviously, you've known each other for a long time.
So a lot of folks will tell you that they've all told me I would be a great captain's wife.
You are enthusiastic. I love it.
Yes, we need that.
He's got more energy than the rest of us.
Yeah, we're all tired.
We're all tired.
See, that's what I was mm-hmm. That's really the only thing is that, wouldn't it have been fun to have been here sooner?
Oh, that's a great answer. That's a great answer.
Been part of all the promotions and all of the different accomplishments and everything. No, I get that for sure. And Carolyn, what about you? Are you kind of, you said earlier you wish you would have married him earlier, but did you miss out on anything having joined the life in the middle? Or
I like the fact that I can compare and I know what it's like to not be a part of the military, because I think I appreciate it so much more just because I know that we have something that's so special that you just don't get anywhere else. Truly, you just don't get it anywhere else. But I have a comment I want to make about something that surprised me. Were you going to ask me that question or can I just say it? Because it's so funny to me. Now it's hysterical to me. But I remember when I was dating John and we went on post for the first time, how utterly terrified I was to go through the gate. I was terrified. And this was before, was after 9/11, but some of the posts were still open. Fort Campbell was closed, but I was terrified that when they took my ID and scanned it or whatever. And then the fact that Fort Campbell had schools on it and it had Burger King, it was the most mind, I was so mind blown by that. I could not believe, I didn't know, I had no clue that military installations had bowling alleys and movie theaters and shopping and grocery stores and gas stations. I was like, what? You never have to leave it ever. If you didn't want to, you'd never have to leave. And that totally blew my mind. I had no clue. So that I thought was just funny. Because now looking back, I'm like, oh my God, you were so ignorant, but had no clue. No clue.
Go ahead, Bonnie. I saw you.
Oh, I was just going to say I had the same epiphany. It wasn't with Patrick, though, although it got deeper with him. But my best friend in high school, her dad was also in the Army. And he, you know, we lived in a place literally that my family had lived on for almost 100 years. And there was this carved out swath of land that made up Fort McClellan that we didn't ever go on. Like, that was just a no-no. You didn't go there. So my senior year, my best friend was like, you really haven't been out there much, have you? Because she was telling me something they had. And I was like, oh, wow, really? And she's like, come on. And so going through the gate, scared to death. And then when you said Burger King, I about jumped out. Because that's the first thing I said to her. I was like, you have a Burger King.
I know. It's the weirdest Pizza Hut. Like, who has Pizza Hut on a military installation? Crazy. Dunkin' Donuts. Now we got Dunkin' Donuts and Starbucks.
And it used to be like that. I'm telling you.
My uncle, Bob, was in the Air Force, and we had an Air Force base near us. And he took me and my brother onto the Air Force base once, and we drove by, and I saw the Burger King. And he was like, yeah, let's get something to eat. And we went to the Burger King, and it amazed me that a 99-cent burger cost 99 cents.
Right. No tax.
Because there was no tax on it. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you saved 6 cents. This is crazy.
The best thing ever.
Well, ladies, I want one more question in this section before we move on to a little something else. I'll go start with Carolyn. Carolyn, what has been your favorite military spouse moment so far?
Probably not. I don't know that I would call it a favorite. It was kind of eye-opening, shocking. So we were at a formal, a ball, and my husband was a battalion commander. So he was a lieutenant colonel. And I'm just walking because y'all all know me and you know that I'm a pretty laid back person. I mean, rank doesn't mean anything. I don't really care about any of that. So, and my husband was the commander, and this is still probably in the point where I'm still trying to figure out what FRG and what ranks even mean. And I'm walking down the hall or walking through the ballroom, and these two ladies in the unit were like whispering and giggling to each other. And I walked up to them and they're like, I can't believe you're here. I can't. They were so enamored that I was there. And I'm just looking at them like, it just made no sense whatsoever to me. It was almost like they were treating me like a rock star. And I thought, that is not me at all. And it was just so shocking and bizarre. That's one thing that pops out in my head about being memorable is just how people treat. She's here. I can't believe it. Oh my God. Can I get her autograph? No, it was just weird. And it wasn't even, he wasn't even the highest ranking guy there. He was just the battalion commander. I mean, it was just weird. It was weird. So that's all I got.
Bonnie, how about you? What's your favorite moment?
It's not necessarily a moment. Probably, I mean, my favorite moment at this point would definitely be his promotion to general officer. It was magical to be a part of that. However, just in general, all of the traditions and the ceremonies and things, that is truly, truly, if I had to boil it down to the one thing that I have found to be different between my previous life and this life, is the ability to recognize your history, your traditions. You have these ceremonies around them. I dig that stuff. Now, I know there's a lot of people who are like, those are old and tired and whatever. But for me, I will dress up all day long and go watch cannons get fired. I think it's a cool
I love it.
I will too. I will too.
I'm going to have to change my mind.
What has been your favorite military spouse moment?
I really think one of my favorites, not a military spouse moment, it's more a military mom moment, was watching my husband swear my son in. So our youngest son enlisted before he went to school to West Point. And then our oldest son, when he graduated, Terry commissioned him as a second lieutenant. So I think those moments to see Terry with our son, pretty special. But getting kind of back to what Carolyn said, I think one of the kind of turning points as a military spouse happened to me when Terry was a captain. And he was in company command, his first company command. And he gave me a list of the spouses. And so I just called and I said, hey, I'm Liz McKinrick, our husbands work together, blah, 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 and kind of that beginning of the FRG. And about a year into that command, I was out to lunch with one of his spouses, and she started complaining about the company commander and that her husband had to da-da-da-da. And I was like, you realize that that's my husband, right? And I had known her for probably a good 8 months, and we had done things together. But it was a good aha moment for me that I was able to, like, I didn't lead with the rank. I didn't, like, I really got to know her. I mean, it was kind of the opposite of what Carolyn said, because, you know, at some point people start recognizing you, and that's its own awkward, uncomfortable feeling.
It's awkward.
Terrible. But when you're a captain's wife and you're, you know, nobody knows who you are, nobody really cares who you are. So that was a good learning point for me early on, to keep it real and not,
I don't have
whatever Terry's rank has been over the years. It's not part of who I am, and it has made it uncomfortable sometimes. But anyway, not really a favorite moment, but a good learning.
Hey friends, it's Heather, Mr. Army Wife's wife. I hope you're enjoying this episode of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast as much as I am. Steve and his friends will return in a few seconds, but first I wanted to ask you to share the podcast with your friends and family. There's a lot of great information in each episode, and your help in spreading the word will make Steve's friends and your friends come together. You can introduce others to the podcast on Facebook and Instagram by searching Mr. Army Wife and Friends, or just share the link on your social media platforms. We would really appreciate your support. And now back to the show.
Thank you, ladies, for sharing those stories. I know people are going to love those. I do want to talk about the elephant in the room, and that's the fact that all three of you are general officer spouses. And Liz, I don't know if you remember our conversation at that first coffee that we had, but basically I talked about how this was the first time I had ever had coffee with a general officer spouse, that I had known general officer spouses in the past, that I had had conversations with general officer spouses in the past, but that I had never really worked with or been friends with general officers spouses in the past. And basically I just asked you, are you guys just regular people?
Remember that? Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I hope by now you know,
yes,
with three of us, that we're regular.
You better know that.
I'm yeah, no, I got that. I am the different one for sure. But I do want to ask this because I think there are a lot of people that feel uncomfortable, like I felt uncomfortable at times around general officer spouses. And I'll just throw this out there. All three of you can give me your thoughts. Why in the world are you guys so intimidating?
Good question. Because we looked intimidating. Don't we look intimidating?
Yeah. you know,
also, like, never dirty either. And our kids are perfect.
Right.
Is perfect in our homes. Our dogs don't ever run out the front door across Brooks Field. No, everything's perfect. We're perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I would say one of the things that makes this rank and our association as spouses with it intimidating is that it, through whether whatever rank you come in at, whatever your experience in the military, there is this leaping of ranks. And if we had married doctors as 22-year-olds or, you know, 30-year-olds or whatever age, we would always be a doctor's wife. But I married a lieutenant. I dated a cadet, but I married a lieutenant, and he kept, his rank kept going up. And so his identity changed, and sort of with it, mine did, or
right,
perspective of mine did. That's probably a better way to put it. I don't think mine did, but people's perspective of it did. And I was thinking, when I was thinking about this podcast, I was thinking about when Terry was a lieutenant, this captain's wife came up to me, and she started talking about FRGs, and I was like, you are so old. Like, I don't want to be anything. I don't want to have anything to do with you. She wanted to meet me for coffee. And I was like, why would I want to meet a captain's wife? Like, that's, you're almost 30. So I think that as our spouses change their rank, people's perspective of us changes with it. And it's an unfortunate part of it. And maybe also a caveat to that is, you know, living in a bigger house, living separately.
Right. It's true. Well, I have the same issue with my children. So here is an exception because there are lots of general officer spouses here that have younger children, but typically we are the only ones that have kids that are in school. And we started in, I had one in elementary and one in middle school here. And my now eighth grader didn't tell anybody who she was. And luckily Evans is a pretty generic name. And there were actually two General Evanses here at the time, but it took them a month and a half before they figured out that she was who she's, her father was. And luckily by then they knew her, but they were worried that they would be judged or treated differently just because of who their dad was. So it's not just the spouses that get that, but the kids get it as well.
Bonnie, do you think that you have was that uncomfortable for you? Has that been uncomfortable for you when you came in kind of while he was in that position? He was a colonel, right, when you got married?
He was a colonel. He was brigade commander, but we were USREC, and USREC is, it's a whole different, recruiting command is completely different. You don't have that concentration of a post with all the traditions, the formalities and things. He had responsibility for 10 states and two islands. Like, it was just a very different experience. And actually my background in social work allowed me to do some traveling and some talking about the resources and benefits that were available to dispersed spouses. So for me, it's, I've definitely missed this sea change of how I've been treated. I think I came from a town of 2,500 people, of which I was the eighth largest employer in the county. I was in the, you know, Rotary Club and different clubs that are expected of seniors people. So my kids kind of got used to being the only, their last name is Fallon. It's not Michaelis. So they have different last names. They aren't identified in school. They had more of an association with being the only Fallon in the phone book in our little town. So I really don't feel like it's different. It is just different for me because I got here so late, I guess is the right answer.
Liz, with that, do you think your responsibilities have changed as a military? Like, do you have more responsibility as a general officer spouse?
I actually think the opposite. I think two things. One, I think when Terry was the company commander, it was the most I felt responsible at that time. people were saying they didn't have diapers. I was buying diapers. It was so intimate. You were, had such a close relationship with the company that I felt the most weight then. And then I think as Terry has gone up in rank, my responsibility has changed in that kind of one-on-one relationship with the people that the spouses and families. But the difference is, I think as he has gotten up in rank and certainly at the general officer rank, I feel a responsibility to look at and see issues and be a voice of change because people listen to you and you do know people that can make a difference and make a change. And so to use your voice for good and not evil, I think that's the power of being a general officer spouse. You know, not don't park in the parking spot and don't wear your spouse's rank, but use your voice and, you know, try to make a difference in your community and help people and go to housing if there's a housing issue. So that's what I think is kind of a responsibility at this level.
Hear, hear. I love that.
Yes, I have to say, though, I agree with you, Liz, depending on your circumstances. So for me, having younger children, I didn't want to have to... I didn't feel like I had the time to fight for those things when I was still taking care of my children. Because I always felt the pressure of having to be the general's wife. And to me, it's because we've got the younger kids. I'm like, no, I'm going to be my kid's mom. And if I have time, I'm going to be the general's wife, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I am definitely in a different place. My youngest is graduating from college. So I've had, Terry has been a GO for, I think, 8 years. And for four of those, I've had no kids at home. But yeah, it's totally different. Everyone's circumstances. And,
yes. And I love that there are those that can devote that time.
But I would like to say that that's one of the things I have loved about, I call them my neighbors. They're, you know, Fort Knox is special because there's quite a few general officer spouses here as opposed to some places where you might be the only person. And so it has been fun to be in a neighborhood where you can watch all these different ways of being yourself, be yourself. People love authenticity. They want you to be who you are. And if who you are is a strong advocate that gets that out in front, and as I call it, speak truth to power, then be that person. If you're the person who needs to focus on taking care of your home and making sure things are right in that area, be that person. People just in the end, for me anyway, seem to just appreciate you being authentic, whoever you are.
I agree. Wholeheartedly, I agree. And I think it makes them feel more comfortable as their husband or wife progresses in the military that it's okay to say no. It's okay for you to focus on your career or for you to focus on your family. You don't have to be 100% in on being the wife or the husband. That it's okay if you can't do everything that is wanted of you as the spouse of an Army officer. So that's my motto. It's okay to say no.
I think that it's empowering for the younger spouses in the Army right now to see, you know, for the three of us, different experiences and the different ways we're approaching this. And that's important because, yes. And there are other general officer spouses who have like full on careers and yes. Have had them sustained through their spouse's entire career. So I think that, you know, having, if we were all cookie cutters doing the same thing, or if there was an expectation that wouldn't be good for anybody. So,
but I think that's what people think. It's going away from that though. But I think people, you know, maybe even just 10 years ago, think the general spouse is a cookie cutter and that we're all supposed to act the same and everything is devoted to our husbands or the Army and not necessarily the family or their career. So I'm glad that's changing.
Are there expectations put on you, though?
There used to be until either people figured out that it wasn't going to matter. If I could do it, I would do it. If I couldn't, I wasn't going to. But I definitely had pressures and expectations put on me when my husband was a colonel, even not necessarily one star because we were separated. He was in Korea and I was here. Or I was in stateside, but in the unit that we came from, absolutely there were expectations of me. And the fact that I didn't follow in that cookie cutter role kind of
bothered some people, but I didn't care because I had little bitty ones then. I mean, I had babies and I was like, nope, my family is going to come first and I will support as I can, but my family came first and there would be someone else that could help pick up the pieces in the FRG or pick up whatever I couldn't carry. So I feel much less pressure now as the wife of a two-star general than I did as a colonel's wife. Absolutely. Sorry.
You think part of that is just your own experiences?
I think that's a large part is based on the unit that we were in because it was a special operations unit. It was very high pressure, lots of combats, lots of crashes. And the people that I followed, the spouses that I followed were very, very involved in taking care of the soldier and taking care of their spouses. They didn't have young children. So I definitely think it was something unique, not in a bad way, because it made me the officer's spouse that I am now based on that beginning part of our marriage. But I'm glad to not have that much pressure on me anymore.
Bonnie, have you felt any pressure or any expectations put on you by anybody, even maybe by your spouse or by, you know, his upper echelon or anything like that?
I will say that anything I do is because I am passionate to do it. We joke that this is the old social worker in me coming out where I want to help people and help connect people to resources. And it is my passion. It's what I grew up doing. And I put more pressure on myself than anyone ever puts on me. I left an incredibly full-time job to step back to doing part-time medical billing, which means I never have to leave my house to do my job. And so I look forward to opportunities where I can help people be connected to resources and help people have support. So it's just innately who I am. So to be honest, for me, my pressure comes from me. I would like to point out that there is definitely a sea change in the Army, even in just the short time that I've been around. The fact that General McConville and all will say to even to officers or to soldiers, we kind of don't care what your spouse does. Like they can work, they cannot work, or they can do this, they can do, like we're promoting you based on you, not based on your ability to come as a unit. And they have said that overtly. And that has been nice because obviously the impression from decades probably ago, or maybe not even that long ago, was like they said, you were told to stop your job so that you could support their career. And so you get this image that if you're not doing that, they're not going to get promoted. And it has been overtly said that they really kind of don't care what your spouse does. You get promoted on your own merits, not on theirs.
I want to ask you guys this. Let's say you have a brand new military spouse come into your home or into your unit or something like that, and they see you and they are a little bit intimidated, because I got to tell you, Heather's a major and I was still intimidated at first. I'm not intimidated by any of you now.
You should be.
Carolyn,
you
maybe
should be very concerned.
What would you say to them in that first meeting about you guys? You know, what would you say to a brand new military spouse who's just intimidated by general officers, not just general officer spouses, but by general officers in general?
Well, general officers in general, I mean, that's a different ballgame, in my opinion, than general officer spouses. You know, give us a day or two and just spend some time with us. The only thing I can see that might be intimidating is the fact I'm thinking in my head of a young, you know, 23-year-old, and I'm not sure what a 23-year-old is going to have in common with a 51-year-old. So that's, other than that, just not having a lot in common with a young spouse, I would just say be yourself, you know, just, well, maybe not be obnoxious, but, you know, just be yourself, be who you are. We're who we are. And
I'm going to say that's exactly, to me, the differences I see sometimes between like myself and someone else. It's not about what rank they are. Mm-hmm. It's about their age. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
So in my old world, you could be a doctor and still be in your late 20s, right? So sure. I would meet doctor wives who were like 20 somethings, and they might have a certain mentality or whatever, a certain income level that gave them abilities. One of the things that I am just in awe about with the whole military lifestyle is that everyone started kind of at the same place, more or less. I know there are caveats, but more or less, everybody started either as a private, second lieutenant. And so they worked to get to where they are. Nobody got handed a job because, you know, they inherited it from the family business. Everybody had to start somewhere. And I just love that. Again, that authenticity to people had to go through all of these steps to get to where they were. And I agree that Bonnie Michaelis is, and who someone else might be, a lot of times it's just our age. It's the fact that some of these folks now are the age of my daughter. And mm-hmm. So that's the difference.
I agree, Bonnie. And I think any respect that somebody should give me, or respect's the wrong word because I never care about respect, but any to listen to me would be because I'm 56 years old and I have experiences and maybe I've learned from lessons. But I would say to that young spouse, I still feel like I'm 22. You know, I think in my head, I'm not as old as I look or feel. Oh, so I think that's part of it. Like, I think just it's mental age. And I would just say, I know I look old and my husband has this rank, but I still feel like I'm a lieutenant's wife.
And that we've all been there. Bonnie and I weren't there the whole time, but we've been in those shoes. And you, sure, Liz, have been married to a first lieutenant or second lieutenant and, you know, captain and all those. So we've been there, we know, but we also know at the same time what it felt like when John was a major, that I thought the colonel's wife was like, I couldn't talk to her. Oh my God, I'm going to say something stupid. I'm my husband fired. That's what I always thought. So we've been there. I mean, we've been there.
Right.
We get it. I don't understand.
Intimidated. Why. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't understand why it happens and why. Now, looking back, I'm thinking, well, I'm no different than I was 10, 15 years ago. But people look at us and think that, you know, that we're intimidating or we're going to be scary or get their husbands fired.
Nobody's going to get their husbands fired.
Yeah. We don't have that power. Sorry.
Hey, friends, it's Heather again. I can't wait to hear this episode's description words and the advice these military spouses have to share. But first, I have to ask you to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Whether you give Steve a 5-star or a 1-star review, he wants to hear from you. What do you like about the show? What do you think could use some improvements? Steve and his friends are all ears and would love your feedback. Thank you.
Time to move on to my favorite part of the episode, and that is where we use our letters to describe military spouses. Now, throughout the last 23 weeks, we picked a letter every week, and all three of the spouses had to use a word that started that letter. Well, because we skipped three letters, we skipped Q, we skipped X, and we skipped Z, those are the letters that you three are going to get, and I know you've...
Yay.
Great words for us. So Carolyn, I'm going to start with you because you have the letter Q. What is your Quebec word for us this week?
So first I got to say thank you for giving us these fun letters. Personally,
general officer spouses, you can handle it.
Oh, okay, whatever. So I chose quintessence. That's the word. Q U N T E S S E N C E. Quintessence. And it means the essence of something, its soul and its spirit. Because that is who we are as military spouses, that we are the soul and the spirit and the essence of what the Army life is.
I love it.
Quintessence.
Bonnie, you got X. I can't wait to hear what your word is.
Yeah, I would like to echo that we totally appreciate getting the dumpster level of the letters. All right. Xenodochial.
Xenodochial.
It's Xenodochial. It is a real word. Xenodochial. And it means friendly to strangers.
Perfect.
And nothing says military spouse, the ability to be friendly to strangers as we all move around and come into new areas and have to start over all again. And you're meeting someone in the commissary line. You talk for 30 seconds and the next thing you know, that person is your in case of emergency for your kids.
True.
Now we have a nice label for it. It's called Xenodochial.
Liz, you're up. You have Z.
You guys did a little more research, but I picked zesty.
Ooh.
Because I think military spouses are spicy. They have all these little experiences and they put them into this package. And I think that we've got a lot of personalities and we are so powerful and strong and we just can kind of handle whatever's thrown at us. Our experience comes out as the zest for life and the zestiness in our personalities.
I love all three of those words. And ladies, I would not give you letters without coming up with something myself. So for you, my word is quintessential. I believe that military spouses are definitely quintessential. It probably is the same thing as yours with just little differences in there. but essential and quintessential, that is definitely military spouses in this life. For X, my word is xylophone. We are all a bunch of notes, and together we create wonderful music through a wonderful instrument. I mean, when you're looking and watching a good xylophone player with like five sticks in each hand, they're amazing. And so we are definitely a xylophone. And then I think we are zany characters, each and every time.
We are zany.
Yeah, we are zany in what we do. And so I just wanted to have those words. Any comments, questions, or talking about each other's letters? I'm impressed that you all came up with those letters.
Well, I just had to Google something and I was like, I can't pronounce any of these. So I'm going to have to pick one I can somewhat pronounce, and I still couldn't pronounce it. But no, I love all the letters. I thought they were great.
And now we have the complete alphabet of military spouses. Last question for you, ladies. What is one piece of advice that you would give to a brand new military spouse, or what is the best piece of advice that you have been given as a military spouse? And I'm going to start with Bonnie on this one.
So my advice is going to be specific to my passion, which are the non-traditional elements of the Army. For the folks out there who couldn't join a spouses club if they wanted to because the closest one is 100 miles away. For the folks who don't recognize what it's like to be able to go to a military treatment facility and that every bit of their doctoring has to be done out in the private sector and trying to negotiate TRICARE that way. We hear you, we know you. You feel like you're out on an island all by yourself because everybody talks about these post-camp stations, traditions, moving every 2 or 3 years, and none of that resonates to you. You're not by yourself. There are tons of resources specifically dedicated to people just like you. If you feel alone, reach up, ask the chain of command for sponsorship, continue to ask questions, link on this podcast that you need resources. We will help you find connections.
My advice to young spouses is to keep your own identity. It's very easy in this military life to lose who you are, and every time you go, just kind of flounder. And to keep, if you have a career, if you have a passion, to try to keep your career going. I wish all along I had done a little bit better of taking care of myself and my interests, and not just followed along with the military. And so, identity.
Find your tribe. Finding my tribe was always the biggest challenge for me, even when we moved here 2.5 years ago. The last thing I would say is to be yourself too. Just be who you are. You know, don't try to pretend that you're someone that you're not. And people are going to love you because of who you are.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for being a part of the podcast. I loved it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Steve. This has been so impressive. All from A to Z.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. I love it.
And that's it for season one of the Mr. Army Wife and Friends podcast. A special thanks to Carolyn, Bonnie, and Liz for being on the show, and a special thanks to all of you for listening. Be on the lookout for new episodes of Mr. Army Wife and Friends next year, where I'll introduce you to more of the great military spouses living their best military spouse lives. Until then, my name is Steve. I'm Mr. Army Wife, asking all of you to keep being the change you hope to see in the world.